document architecture reality in Utah. If you know anything about ECR, you know that people are now moving from electronic lab reporting to electronic case reporting, where electronic health record data is available. So with that, I invite Amanda to talk a little bit more about it.
Thanks so much for saying all that. So I'm going to discuss just why and how we're moving clinical data elements from provider EHRs to a state surveillance system via CCDAs. So this grant, this work started with a grant from CDC, and through a competitive process, Utah was awarded 5-year funding to work on Part B of the STD surveillance network. And the Sun Part B goals are to assess STD health-related outcomes, measure clinical services delivered to patients, and implement sustainable collaborations to obtain electronic health data. How we decided to do this in Utah is we want to route EHR data from provider systems to our national electronic disease surveillance system, and the large idea there is moving clinical data to public health. We want to improve our data quality by making it more timely, accurate, and complete. We want to decrease the time spent on public health case investigations, both for providers and local health departments. And then we want to obtain our lessons learned to see if it could be expanded to larger healthcare systems. So ultimately, we want the process to be relatively cheap and easy so it can be sustainable. For our project, we partnered with Planned Parenthood Association of Utah because, well, as it turns out, they don't sell baby livers on the black market. But what they do in Utah is provide a lot of STD testing. About a quarter of the positives we see are coming from Planned Parenthood, which is more than any one provider for our state. All of their clinics are connected with NextGen, who's their EHR vendor. The EHRs can capture elements that aren't routinely coming through ELR, like treatment, symptoms, other health and socioeconomic indicators. And then through EHRs, we can monitor healthcare access trends. So historically and now, case reporting and case notification is largely paper-based, which is time-consuming, and it can be inaccurate or incomplete. And in the case of Planned Parenthood, how it goes with our affiliate is a CMA or someone takes time out of their day to get into the EHR, then transcribe on paper all the information a local health department might want. And I should mention we have 15 health jurisdictions, so it's a different paper for all of them, and every chlamydia and gonorrhea is initiated for investigation in Utah. So they write down all this information, send it through a fax machine in the year 2016 to most likely a DIS who picks it up, does some data entry, but then there are calls back and forth because they didn't understand the treatment or they couldn't read the name or they just didn't get the fax altogether. So this goes on and on until finally the case is closed. So how we decided to make this process more efficient was to route EHR data. To route it, we were going to have NextGen, who is Planned Parenthood's EHR vendor, configure an export of consolidated clinical document architecture variables. Planned Parenthood then sends that information via secure file transfer protocol to the state health department. The CCDAs are then processed through our electronic message staging area, EMSA. EMSA applies the rules that then incorporate the data into our disease surveillance and case management system, which is our NEDS compatible system. So this whole process is automated, so no button pressing. So this is an example of a tiny part of a de-identified CCDA. It's an XML document of an EHR, and I don't know if you can read it from here, but you can see it says CCDA, there's some patient data, there's provider data, but like I said, this is just a snapshot. So this comes over and it can be like 2,600 lines of data, depending on the patient. But the CCDA should contain all the variables of interest, and right now we're receiving daily transmission of production CCDAs. So I asked my manager to draw me a picture of how this new data transfer would go, because I learn better in pictures, and I'm not a programmer. So we receive piped delimited HL7 messages, or CCDAs. They're parsed through MIRTH. Those new messages then enter our master process, where some programming magic happens. That new information goes to EMSA, which is our rules engine, that then applies the rules and puts the information into our surveillance system. And there's two names there because we're in the middle of a refactor. So easy peasy. Once we figured out the how, we needed to know the what. So public health wants these data elements to complete case investigations, and this information isn't routinely coming through on ELR. So we set out to collect those six variables, and we ended up identifying about 40 key variables in the larger areas of patient demographics, treatment information, facility details, lab data, and diagnosis codes. And these variables are needed to complete the case forms as well as potentially triggering an ECR. Once we receive the CCDAs, the variables need to be parsed and mapped to our system. And I'm not heavily involved in this area, but just to kind of show, if we want something like clinician phone, we have to go back to this long string of data that's going to point back to the CCDA to tell us where to find it. So it's a lot of programming and coding work, and this is just one of the 40 variables. As far as what we've accomplished in year three of our five-year project, we're receiving production CCDAs. We have about 170,000. We've parsed the messages through MERS. We defined our ICD, LOINC, and SNOMED codes. We've mapped the data to our rules engine and our surveillance system, and we're refactoring our surveillance system to be able to accept all of this new data. For success, we have completed a move of CCDA variables to our NEDS system, and that information is either sitting in the correct fields or it's in the notes section right now. We successfully integrated a LOINC with lab data into NEDS and created a test case. With ICD codes, we can force it into our system, but more programming is required to increase MSET capacity. So the way I kind of see it is if we have a positive lab, there's minimal altering we need to do, but if there's no lab, there's more coding that needs to occur. But this was good because it helped us identify the elements that weren't getting moved into our present system and where more development work can occur. As far as what we discovered in this process, we thought moving the CCDAs would be quite easy because of meaningful use stage two, providers had to be able to export CCDAs, but once we started looking at it, it required a lot more programming and coding than we initially thought. We did have a problem with custom templates, so with NextGen, if the provider was using the generic template, we could export that information, but if they created a custom template, we couldn't export that information as CCDAs. Also, moving the treatment data into NEDS was harder than we thought. And again, I'm not a programmer. I'm like, they have treatment. We want treatment. Let's move this over. But the way that the data is structured and the way we need to get it into our system is requiring a lot more refactoring. Contracts and data sharing agreements take a lot of time. And in August of last year, the governor of Utah decreed that the state could not act as a pass-through agency for funding to Planned Parenthood. So that's currently in litigation, and the project is going ahead as mostly normal. As far as next steps, in year four of our project, we want to evaluate the quality and the timeliness of the new data that we're receiving, enhance our rules engine to use all the triggers, define more rules to populate our surveillance system, and then compare different clinics' CCDAs. So we're getting CCDAs from Planned Parenthood. We're also getting them from Utah Poison Control Center and Cerner with IHC, so we should have a good bank to do some comparison. Year five, we want to run a follow-up time motion study, and I didn't discuss this before, but something we did in year two was looked at the actual time it takes for Planned Parenthood to fill out these paper forms and fax them to health departments and how much time could be saved if we automate this process. So we want to do it again to make sure we're saving that much time. We want to analyze our results and what data elements could be collected. And I think this could be really interesting, not just for communicable disease, but for non-communicable disease, like if you're following blood pressure. Produce our products like white papers and implementation guides. And at any point, we're always happy to share our de-identified CCDAs, parsing scripts, trigger codes, and treatment rules. So just a special thanks to everyone that was involved in this project, everyone with Sun and UDOH, especially the programmers, coders, and architects, and our friends at Planned Parenthood. Thanks.
Do you have questions for Amanda?
That was very quick, so.
Well, I would ask you a few questions. Suppose you are doing it with some other clinic, and they have some other kind of EMR systems. How would you make sure that you don't have to reinvent the wheel going through the processes of electronic?
Yes, because so for right now, we know that anyone that would be using NextGen should ostensibly be able to use this process. I don't know if it would require us going in and changing every system, or if maybe there could be an agency where all the information gets sent to and they sort it out and then decide like what needs to be reported. So, and with EICR, so we have received EICR messages as well as CCDAs, and we can process all those fine.
Sounds great, and it's kind of a shameless plug, but I think this is the right time to do it. If you go to Public Health Informatics Institute's website, we have funded them to look into electronic case reporting a little bit more deeply. so that every hospital, every health department and EMR system does not have to start from scratch. So they have a technical guidance document on electronic case reporting for STDs on their website. And they have a bunch of value sets, codes, vocabs already mentioned and should be available in downloadable form. So somebody who's thinking about doing electronic case reporting would have a good place to start with. With that, I'll stop. Now we have a question.
Thanks for that. Yeah, this whole, it should be easy. It's test results from one computer or another, but it never seems to work out. And we've encountered the same issues like HL7 and SNOMED. They're supposed to be like standardized codes, but things happen. So among your variables, I'm just wondering, is there any attempt to put some of the contact tracing information, the partners, all that kind of stuff into your system as well, or?
I'm not sure. I can ask some other people that are on the project to find out about partner information. Right now, yeah, we're just looking at like cases and positive labs, so it would be like just that initial person, but I would imagine we would want to expand it to include partners.
Because I know the network analysis
conversation.
Wait,
our state epi knows more.
just to answer that we're refactoring the UTNET system, which is our communicable disease electronic reporting, and in there we have the partner notification information. But that again would require the health department folks at the local level to do something, do an interview or whatever. So that they can enter all that information into the
Yeah, because I know the social networking stuff's going on in another room, but for STIs, I haven't seen a really good computerized system for linking cases and contacts. The CDC has one for Ebola, but I haven't seen anything for gonorrhea and contacts.
I mean, our current system, like we do, we have like morbidity events and then we have contact events, and it's all linked up if people get that information.
Hi, Brian Dixon from the Regan Streef Institute in Indianapolis. Great presentation. I have a question about the treatment data. So we found, for example, that in the typical clinical workflow, it's get the lab result back so I prescribe an order for my patients, and that generates maybe an electronic order to a pharmacy, but I have no idea if the patient ever goes and fulfills the order. So what kind of treatment data are you getting? Is it dispensing events, or is it just orders from the EHR? And so how do you really verify that the patient is receiving treatment?
Well, so most times at Planned Parenthood, like, they will treat them presumptively. So that information.
The last slide, so the recording is.
Sorry, what?
The last slide of the presentation. Yeah. Otherwise, recording would stop. We have a very unique kind of system.
Oh, sorry. So that information would be in their system. And then also, if a patient comes back, like, that's in the Planned Parenthood system. And then from the local end, like when I said that all the cases were investigated, so our local health departments call every patient and ask them, like, did you get this filled? Did you take it? Did you keep it down? And that goes into like a shared system between locals and the state. And so all that treatment information is there. Does that answer your question? Okay.
All right.
Thank you.